Welcome to a special edition of Makeshift Stories. If you experience some trouble downloading episode 33, please go back and try again. There was a problem when we first uploaded that episode. The media file didn't show up. We apologize for any problems that this may have caused. September 20, 2010 is the end of our second season, and to celebrate, we have written a special short story based on the series from year one. Now, we invite you to sit back, close your eyes, and open your imagination as we present Makeshift Stories 34, Return to Start. Katrina Janssen peered through the eyepiece of her telescope in the frosty cold of the crystal clear night. She had been looking for near-Earth objects ever since the unexpected near-miss of 69230 Hermes in the previous year had surprised everyone. Since then, Katrina had obsessively watched the night sky for signs. She had already been credited with the discovery of two new objects, which had been officially cataloged by the Harvard Minor Planet Center. But tonight something else caught her eye, or rather the absence of something. Katrina always tested her equipment by sighting a well-known object, and tonight that was supposed to be Cirrus. Cirrus, the largest object in the asteroid belt, big enough to be round and have a thin atmosphere, wasn't where it was supposed to be. In fact, it wasn't anywhere at all. Instead, an ominous dark spot replaced it, and the light from nearby 433 Eros was redshifted.
That shouldn't be happening,
Katrina thought. She consulted her chart, then, out of the corner of her eye, she glimpsed a flash, as 433 Eros suddenly blinked out of existence. Stunned, Katrina opened her laptop. She clicked on her message client, found the contact she was looking for, and frantically typed. It was several tense moments before a response began to trickle back. The message simply said, "Lost contact with Dawn mission orbiting Cirrus. Last data to follow." Katrina anxiously looked at the information stream, then slammed her laptop shut.
"That's impossible,"
she muttered to the silent northern stars. Adrian had been asleep for years, hiding his consciousness from Aleutian agents, and in particular, the doggedly persistent Serene. They had chased him and his kind for millennia, hunted them like vermin, despite the fact that it was the Aleutian of this universe that had caused the fateful event and brought the Aleutian from his reality here. Serene and her Aleutian had swapped the outcome of a comet impact, swapped their devastated world for his, and it was their bungling, her bungling, that had disrupted the lives of Adrian's friends on this innocent world. Adrian's mind groggily collected itself from remote corners of the internet, where it had slept for years as a semi-aware intelligence. It had been awakened by a particular group of packets that had crossed the threshold of its mind, triggering alarm flags that Adrian had set before breaking himself apart. Cirrus, black hole, were the words that tickled his consciousness. Cirrus, or Cerez, as the Aleutian referred to it, a tiny frozen world that had been central in the recent past in shaping the tides of the present, had been replaced by a hungry black hole that was now growing and would eventually devour this world, its star, and the surrounding space. The Terran scientists were stumped. The little dwarf planet didn't have enough mass to create a black hole, but Adrian understood. Somebody had used the ball of ice to power a badly conceived escape, causing it to collapse into a singularity to create a gateway. A crude method that smelled of the clumsy manipulations of a race like the bureaucratic Triffle or the renegade faction the Sodality, and hinted at the cold, calculating influence of Serene. Serene had been stranded on Cirrus during Adrian's rescue of his Terran friend Tim, who had accidentally been caught in an Aleutian trap intended for Adrian. It was the pivotal event that had led directly to the current situation, and ultimately he felt responsible. He had to put things right. He had to change the past, to prevent his friend from ending up on the tiny Illusion prison world. Adrian knew that it was a risky manipulation, but it would bring Cirrus back, and more importantly, give Terra a future. Adrian and all Illusions, regardless of what part of the multiverse they were from, had evolved the ability to alter reality. Generations ago, their scientists had come to understand how the unimaginably small, unforeseen threads of probability manifested the solidity of the realm of objects, and had paid dearly in the process. Many futures had been inadvertently created and destroyed, worlds and whole star systems wiped out of existence, and others unintentionally created. The downtime ripples a simple change might cause were unimaginably hard to predict or control. And this was when they still used fantastically complex machinery to manipulate and recalculate the base information that was at the root of everything. Now, all Illusion had the ability to do this with only their minds, so strict laws and severe penalties had to be enacted to prevent them from manifesting more than what Terrans would consider minor parlor tricks. Except for the Almighty Council, Adrian disdainfully recalled the arrogant Illusion organization that had taken it upon itself to decide where and when the use of their power was merited. He and those like him who had been torn from their universe when their planet was stolen by Serene's reality operated outside of the Council's laws, trying to restore what had been theirs and compensate for the Council's unwillingness to help other cultures in need. And here, thought Adrian, was a good example where their laws would not let them intervene, despite the fact that their most prestigious agent had likely been the catalyst. Adrian pushed his anger back to a remote part of his consciousness. He needed to be calm now. He needed to concentrate on the present. Adrian let himself sink down into the chaotic patterns of probability. Intricate lines bubbled up from nothing and spread infinitely into possible pasts and futures. He isolated a thread, one that led to a gnarled point of immense complexity, and followed it back to a place where prior to that, Terra's future reached out, receding into points of different potentiality. After it, they rapidly faded and died. The point was like a ball of tightly tangled string, knotted by the intentions of Serene and the Council to prevent just the type of intervention he was about to do. But Adrian had experienced their work before. He focused on the familiar, finding and isolating the string of causalities that connected Cirrus, Tim, and himself. It was snagged in a particularly stubborn knot, where Tim's, Serene's, and Adrian's threads interwove with a rift in time and space on October 31st, several years past. It was a one-person trap meant for Adrian, but Tim had fallen through instead. This was the event that needed to change, but it was too tightly bound and protected, so Adrian moved back along the timeline, found the right spot, then pulled with his mind. The threads unraveled, and now Tim and Adrian had never met. With relief, Adrian brought his consciousness back into the global network and checked. There was a current sighting of Cirrus, and aside from the usual craziness, there was no mention of a looming black hole. He searched for signs of his former friend and saw that Tim had met a person called Maya at a place called the Europa Cafe. But something was different. The web seemed to close down around him. Firewalls materialized, active security programs began to track down the various parts of his mind. Adrian struggled as the network closed down around him to monitor the effects of his change. As he completed the search and prepared to leave, two things struck him. There was no Maya or Europa Cafe in the original timeline. And there was a new presence he did not understand. But time had run out. The security programs had closed all but one point of exit, and Adrian was forced to leave.
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 34, Return to Start, and helping us celebrate our second anniversary. We hope you enjoyed the story tonight, and if you did, please tell your friends about us. As always, we'd love to hear from you, So send us an email at makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. All sound effects are licensed from soundsnap.com, and the opening theme, If You Lived, is Pod Safe Music, licensed from premiumbeat.com. Makeshift Stories is released under Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivative License, which means you're free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us. And don't change anything.